What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producer's Corner with Spud Too Tight, and I have another special show for you today. On the phone with me, I have a very gifted and a talented artist. For over 3 decades, she has demonstrated true artistry as a singer, songwriter, positioning herself to receive 4 Grammy nominations, and moving on to the big screen, starring in Fighting Temptations with Cuba Gooding Jr. and Beyoncé Knowles. Please put your hands together and welcome legendary Tony Award winner and Grammy nominated singer and actress, Miss Melba Moore. How's it going, Melba?
Oh, it couldn't be better.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on my show and talking to me one-on-one, Melba. I'm a huge fan of your work, and it's truly an honor and a special to have you on my show. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
You know, before we start the show, Melba, all the artists that I have on my show, I just like to talk about some of the favorite tracks that you guys done over the years that I still listen to is one of my faves. And till this day, Love Coming At You is still one of my favorite songs that you've done as an artist.
Well, thank you. I enjoy that one, too. I have a lot of fun performing it.
You know, now, Melba, with your new CD that you're about to release, Forevermore, I mean, tell me, how did this project come together? You know, who were some of the other writers and producers on this album?
Well, one of them that I can tell you about that I'm very, very pleased and excited about is Dominic McFadden. He's the son of Gene McFadden of McFadden and Whitehead. And I haven't seen him since he was a kid, and Gene and John and I used to have Thanksgiving dinner together and all that kind of stuff over at his house in Philadelphia. So when I heard his music, I really was kind of shocked, but I was almost in tears because I really don't think there's been proper tribute done to Gene and John, who both passed away. And they, I mean, just Ain't No Stopping Us Now is like the Star Spangled Banner. I would have thought there'd have been more tributes and more notice to, their contribution. So naturally, I'm very excited about the music that he has submitted to me. I've recorded a song by him called How Do I Survive, which I think is, I can't describe it except to say that it's extremely contemporary urban R&B, but it suits me.
Wow.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is the new CD will be current and it will be relevant, but it will still be me.
Wow. You know, I can't wait to hear, you know, the track I did get a chance to hear, Love Is. That's the only track that I had a chance to listen.
Yes.
And that's a perfect melodic ballad. Man.
Yes, that was actually produced by Ronnie Song, who did quite a few songs in earlier days. And so once again, I think it helps to tie together what I've done with what I'm doing now to, have a continuum and a nice flow.
Yeah, I agree. You know, what's cool is this, you know, it's always amazing to me how great of a relationship a writer and a producer and a songwriter and a singer can merge together. You know, the chemistry doesn't go unheard and it doesn't go away. You know, you guys could work together 15, 20 years ago and step back into the studio and as if you guys never left. You know, the chemistry is still there, and I'm definitely
sure.
Some
people can, you know, and some people can't. So if you have some longevity, then the challenge gets to be, you know, is what you're doing now relatable to what's going on in our communities now? You can't just pick up where you left. You have to continue to grow, and in some cases, what you do was great then, but it's not going to be great anymore.
Right. You know, definitely keeping your ear to what's going on today definitely helps, as long as
we're
maintaining that melodic structure. But definitely want to be able to have a platform to display your music. You know, it's getting scarce these days, really trying to find a good format and a good neighborhood to, you know, launch your music. But, you know, I always say good melodies and harmonies and good balance to the track never goes away. It's always timeless, you know.
Right.
You know, you come from a very musical family, Melba, you know. With your folks. I mean, so, honestly, you were surrounded by music, but, you know, who were some of your heavy influences in your music career starting out?
You know what's interesting? I was listening to some music with my daughter, and she was listening to Weather Report. Now, I used to date Wayne Shorter, so I thought that was amazing. But sometimes, I don't know, a certain genius of music is ahead of its time, and so it continues to be relevant long, long, long later. I mean, you know, the American, like, I don't know what kind of jazz you call it now, because it's just still so excellent and so skilled. But I was surrounded by great musicians of my own age, and also people like Carmen McRae, Sarah Vaughan, you know, Billy Eckstine, and then on through with Nat King Cole and Mahalia Jackson, and
oh, yeah.
And then later on Aretha Franklin. I mean, you know, this is America. What can I tell you?
No, we've had some really great heavy hitters along the years.
I can't name them all, but there's just been eras. I was just listening to the OJs. All through the years, we've had really fabulous, inspiring artists to listen to.
Right. And can't forget Melba Moore.
Yeah. I'm in there.
Oh, yeah. You know, but Melba, you know, you're still a seasoned vocalist when I listen to your music. You know, your tone, your dynamics hasn't changed at all. You know, listening to your new release, Love Is, you still maintain that control, and your pitch is perfect.
Well, thank you. I try to take care of my instrument, the whole instrument, not just the voice, but the mind and the spirit and the body, to keep it working. And as the years go, it requires different things. It sounds like the same, but it ain't the same. It takes different things, you know, because as you get older, you can't eat ice cream and cake, and you can't have all that champagne anymore. you might even have to watch the beef, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, but when you're building your harmonies and placing your vocals, you know, what are some of the steps that you personally use, you know, when building those backing vocals and blending those harmonies together? I mean, what does Melba Moore do on her own signature touches of blending those vocals together?
Well, I don't have to do the background vocals. The songwriters and the producers do that.
Oh, nice. Okay. So you write...
But I'll tell you what I do is I do collaborate with the songwriters, and in some cases I might sing along with the backgrounds, because generally they'll present a demo to me, and I need to hear like the overall sound of it, because it's not going to be based on me. It's going to be based on the songwriter, the producer's personality, and then my blend with it. And so what will happen is I might sing with the background so that my tone is in there, so that it, you know, it's connecting.
Right. You know, with, you know, receiving those demo tapes and songs, I mean, what is some of the things that really grabs your attention? Is the melody in a groove, or does it start with the lyrics and content of the song?
No, definitely the groove first. the chords, because they set the mood, and then the melody. I think the music really grabs you first, and the sound of the voice, because I have to know whether or not that singer is singing something that will be applicable to my voice. My voice might be very, very different than that singer, and you know, it won't translate at all the same, or it doesn't have to be the same. But it has to be. I have to be able to make it mine so that it's still beautiful and still doesn't lose anything that the songwriter and producer, you know, had in mind in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I have to be able to hear that it's a hit, because if people don't like it and they don't buy it, I don't have a career.
Right. No, definitely. You definitely need an audience to keep the career going, huh?
Right.
You know, with your team that you work with, Melba, does it vary from project to project, or do you have a specific team that you carry with you on every project that you work on?
No, I'm really establishing that now, Vin. That's one of the things that's happening with this CD, and I'm developing the sound and the feel and the routine of actually laying it out and creating it this time, because this is... a new era for me. I've done two gospel CDs on my own, and looking back on them, they're excellent, because I can hear the excellence in my choice of musicians, in the song's interpretation and the message. I think gospel music is a great indicator. Gospel listeners, you have to move them, and it's not, you may think it's entertainment, but it's not. It's you have to tell a story that touches them and makes them feel and experience something heroic, and it has to ring that it's true, that you've experienced this. And this is not that you're acting, it's that they can see that you've been through something, and you're telling the story not just from your heart, but from heaven. Yeah. You've got to do more than sing. You don't even have to sing good, but you have to be convincing. And to take that skill to commercial music, I think it's a great asset. It enhances and heightens your ability to listen in different areas of what you hope to convey to people, both in the music, in the commerciality. You have to meet different requirements in commercial music. It has to be a certain time if you want it to be radio-friendly. You have to know the cultural base that you're trying to reach. There's so many, and thank God there's so many, but you got to pick your base and see who you are targeting. You don't want to sell apples to people who came to buy oranges, you know?
Definitely. You know, the church is, you know, it's one thing, what I love about the church. I have a church background. I played for 17 years for my church as a keyboardist and music director. And, you know, it's just funny how, like you said, the material that we play in church, it still stays with you. Even when I don't play, the song still stays with me. And
right,
you become a fan of gospel music just because it becomes a way of life. And the songs stay with you. And, you know, be able to replicate that and bring that energy to the stage and to the audience, you know, it's breathtaking and it's timeless, and it definitely sticks with the people that are listening to you.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Oh, no,
and
yeah.
So that's how I'm putting together the CD. And it's this is one project, but several different songwriters and producers, because I have to see who I am now. And I have to see who I am through these new songwriters and producers. They don't have to be young, but I need to start fresh and see, you know, what it is I can express now through their talents and their collaborations. It's just a new day now.
Yeah, it is. Definitely. But, you know, coming from the studio and recording industry, Melba, I mean, you branched off into Broadway, and you've been doing that for a while, you know, bouncing back and forth. And, you know, I'm sure that's definitely a huge passion of yours. You know, how much of a difference is it performing a more theatrical song compared to the album, because that you released on your own albums? You know, because the arrangement seems so much bigger to me, you know, when I hear it than the album.
I think you have a different set of rules and guidelines. And why, for instance, I did Les Miserables, and I played the role of Fantine. And my director said, now, Miss Moore, this is not a rock concert, you know. First of all, you have to stay in the character. And second of all, this is not R&B music. It's semi-classical.
Wow.
And I don't think it's, well, for an actor, it's not different. You're playing a different part of a different role. But the difference is only the characters that you determine. And, of course, everybody knows what R&B music is. So you kind of know you can't be corny. You can't not be funky.
Right. Yeah.
You know, there are certain rules you got to follow.
Sure.
In a Broadway music, it depends on what the style of the music is for the play. For instance, for Pearlie, it was country and down home, just hokey. So everything was like hee-haw.
Yeah.
But I mean, you were supposed to laugh at it. It was caricaturish.
Sure.
So that was the style. If it's a chorus line, then of course it's going to be like, you know, I got to have this job, or New York, New York, or I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
But
right.
each production, and I think that's the growth of Broadway too. Now we have things like Hair, and we have Wicked, and we have Memphis that's now you know, chronicling the beginning of rock and roll music, R&B music, and you know the different chronicling of the evolution of the different styles of cultures and music. So I think Broadway was kind of one dimensional because only one culture was represented, but it's becoming more diverse.
Yeah, it's definitely grown. You know, definitely see a lot more variety of shows than I did back in the early 80s when I started really paying attention to the scene and what was really going on. No, there's a lot more diversity going on Broadway.
Yes.
You know, but moving on to the big screen and working on the Fighting Temptations, Melba, I mean, that's a film that I think everybody from families to different cultures have watched over and over. I mean, give me your experiences of that film.
I truly enjoyed it. I've been kind of in a retreat and rediscovering myself and reinventing myself So I haven't been going to the movies, and I didn't really know what was going on. Cuba Gooding Jr. and Beyonce are so popular, you can't miss them. You kind of know by passing that they're fabulous artists and, you know, some of what they're doing. But I never knew that Cuba was this great athlete. I really had not seen his work. And I didn't know he was such a fabulous physical comic.
Right.
I didn't know that. So when I watched him do his scenes, I was just in awe and falling over. But what he did from standing still, just back over flip in front of the choir when we get ready to sing, they stopped me in my tracks. They had to do the take again.
Yeah, it is. You know, some of these guys got hidden talents that we're just totally unaware of.
Well, everybody knew but me. Everybody's seen him, you know, do these things. And Beyonce, all I can say about Beyonce, everybody knows how beautiful she is and how well she can sing. But to me, on the set, she made everybody look short and ugly.
Wow.
No, she's beautiful. I was in awe of the all the different other talents that were on the show, like Steve Harvey or Shirley Caesar and Nezzy. They're breathtaking.
Yeah.
And all that great talent over there.
Oh, yeah.
And like Cuba said to Shirley, "Oh, you're pretty good." And Shirley said, "Pretty good." And stomped off. I mean, that was her character, but.
Yeah.
Because they opened the movie, she and Nezzy, with these incredible gospel songs. I thought it was just such a wonderful rendering of gospel music. It was so fun and light, and I was so glad that they didn't make a caricature out of the church.
Right.
It was real gospel music and real comedy.
Yeah, it was.
Church people are funny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, just, you know, like I said, coming from a church background, I mean, it was just so relatable for me, you know, the stories and just little things that were going on within a church and, you know, being on both sides of the fence, you know, I could definitely see both sides of the party. And yeah, it was just a great classic film. And, you know, the soundtrack was amazing. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis did an excellent job on the material.
As they usually show on everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, they had, man, it was just great composition.
The music was beautiful. I thought the music was beautiful. I know you would say that about, you know, probably every project that you did, but I think everybody agrees. The music was excellent. The characters, the story, and a real wonderful family film.
Totally. You know, remember, with all the experience that you have, give me the pros and cons of the business. You know, how has it changed for you as a professional musician from... you know, back in the day until to where it is now with all the social media, I mean, how has it changed for you as an artist and a performing artist?
Well, I think that's the main way that it's changed. We have the social media that just so makes everything so accessible to you. And so everybody has a chance to be out there and, you know, get something done and a level playing, a little bit more level playing field to somebody who might not have a lot of money or, you know, it spreads the abilities for someone to have even a hobby or a career beyond just the three or four big dog record companies. You know, you can put your own record out.
Yeah.
You can develop your own following. And there are lots of other opportunities that I think have developed because of economies, because of the same thing happening in a variety of areas of life once again, which seems to become more prominent every few years, especially when things kind of go sour. The small business person is the one who keeps everything alive, whether it's music or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's changed, but I think there are cycles when it's more prominent. And then you have maybe small business people who will develop into great moguls, and you'll have a few big companies again, and then something will happen because man always messes up. It'll break down, and the people who are charitable and the people who will barter when there's no money will save the I want to say the economy, the community again.
Right. No, that makes sense.
The change is very, very difficult because people like myself come from the big companies and that's all we know. And if we are not able to make our way without the big budgets and the big cars and the big teams of people helping you to do things and promote you, you think that it can't be done, and so you give up. But what you have to do is start all over again, and now you have to be the CEO.
Wow. Yeah, I can imagine, like, say, with the budgets and, you know, have a staff of people promoting a project. Now it's just, you know, you and maybe two other people. It's downsized quite a bit. You know, Mel, but being on both sides of the fence as an actress and as a performing singer-songwriter, where do you feel most creative now? I mean, you've done enough in both fields. I mean, do you find that zone on the stage and Broadway on the movie screen, or is it still in the studio performing in front of your fans?
I'm in transition now. When I finish playing mogul and business person and getting this part of that lesson finished, I will go back to being on the stage and being a performer, because once that fell apart, if I didn't learn how to be those things, I wouldn't have a career. But then, you know, once it levels out and I have these proper cycles again, and, you know, I get to spend, say, you know, a year on concert tour and maybe, you know, a few months doing a theater project, and I will fall back into the natural cycles that they already exist, then I can tell you.
Right. No, makes sense. So what's on the musical agenda for 2012, Mel? We're hitting that halfway mark, getting ready to hit 2013. Right. What do we got left?
Well, musically, I've been invited back to the UK, and I have a few things going on there, and I'm going to do some cabaret, and a combination of things are falling into place, like clubs like B.B. King, but cabarets like, 54 Down Under, it's called, it's a new cabaret in Manhattan, okay. And also the Colony in Palm Beach, and also the Condo Circuit in Florida, which is basically really cabaret, and possibly a TV sitcom. That's been offered to me, so if the project gets picked up, I'll have a television project, and of course, everything else will be put on hold, so we have our quote-unquote hiatus.
There you go.
Then I'll be back in the normal swing of things.
Wow. Well, Melba, it's been a true honor speaking to you, ma'am. And, you know, thank you again for coming on my show and chopping it up with me. I would love to have you back, talk about your new endeavors. You definitely got a spot here at the Producers Corner.
Well, give Monica a good report, okay?
I sure will, Melba. You have
Tell
a safe one.
I did good.
We'll do. Well, you have a safe 2012, and best of luck to you, Melba.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And a big shout out and thank you to Miss Melba Moore for coming on my show and chopping it up with me. She's such an amazing talent as a singer-songwriter and displaying her talents as an actress on the big screen and on stage. I mean, that just shows great versatility and great showmanship as an artist. For more information on Melba Moore, you can hit her website up at www.melbamoore.com. www.melbamoore.com. And for my past and current interviews, you can hit me up at www.spudtootight.com. www.spudtootight.com. And to close out the show, I'm going to play a track from Melba Moore off of her upcoming CD, Forevermore. And the title of the track is called Love Is. And I know you guys are going to enjoy it. And I want to thank everybody for tuning and listening in. Until next time, you guys keep it tight. Peace. Say
landslide.